Dear fellow redeemed, you know what that is? Probably heard that this morning already, right? That's the alarm. And it means it's time to get up. It means it's time to wake up, get out of bed. And if you don't, it'll quit any day now. There we go. If you don't get up, it'll keep going. And you have to get up in order to make it to that sale, because otherwise the sale will be over or all the good stuff will be gone. That was the way it was supposedly last Friday, right? But the purpose of the alarm clock isn't always for things that are fun. It's for things that are important, like getting up and going to work. Sometimes it's for things that are desirable, for things that will give us joy. Now, Paul is telling the Romans and us also that living as you and I do under the grace of God, we do have something to look forward to. There is a definite joy set aside for us, and we don't want to miss it. Don't go to sleep. Wake up, he says, because you don't want to miss this. It's far more important than any sale. It's a treasure. It's a treasure for us that the Lord arouses us from the sleep of unbelief and indifference so that we're ready for what he has in store. Now, I say the Lord arouses us from sleep or indifference. Our text says, it's the time, the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. In the Greek, that's actually in the passive voice. It means to be awakened. All right? He recognizes that you and I wouldn't know what's coming if we weren't told. But we are told, so we are awakened. Now is the time to be awakened if we're to be ready when our Savior comes again. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Besides this, Paul says, what does he mean by that? It means, besides what I've told you about the law of love, he says, besides that, you need to serve the Lord and be awake for him just in view of the wonderful things that are coming. Just a bit prior to our text, here is what he had said. He said, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. And so what he's telling you is that's the way to live if you want to stay awake, if you want to be ready. He tells us how those whose faith is in Christ our Lord live in these latter days, awake and ready, since the Lord has awakened us from slumber. That is, he's awakened us from indifference or complacency. Now, it isn't physical sleep he's talking about, it's spiritual sleep. Anything that detracts from keeping our focus on Christ and on heaven. And so what are some of those things that we need to be awakened from? Well, for one thing, busyness. Anyone here not busy? And we're busy because so much is coming at us all the time. So much information. If I could just get the phone to stop ringing. So many people want to sell me gutter, or they want to clean out my dryer vents. That's just... if all we did is all we do is answer the phone, that keeps us busy. And then, of course, you watch TV. Plenty of people tell us what we should be doing with our time, what we should be doing with our money. Busy, busy, busy. Another thing that we need to wake up from is self-absorption. You know, we live in a world where self is the most important thing. It just is overemphasized. And it doesn't help that we spend our lives like this. Just me and my little glass screen and what's going on in my head in response to all those images. And then also, complacency itself. The attitude that, you know, things are just going to go on the way they are forever and ever. They've always been this way. We're always going to go on this way. And that's one of the spin-offs of the religion of evolution, when you think about it. What does it say? It says that, you know, everything has always kind of been this way, and everything is always kind of going to stay the same. Nothing's going to happen. If it does, it's just going to be gradual. If you're caught up in an evolutionary mindset, you may be thinking in terms of the next ice age, or whatever you're thinking is about global warming, the next hot period, rather than about the fact that it may come, the Lord may come at any moment, and all will end. We're hurtling toward the end at 24 hours a day. We need to be ready. As Christians, we face the future aware of the past. Did God promise that he would send a Messiah? Did he keep the promise? He did, and everything changed as a result. Christ has come to this earth, God in human flesh, and he comes to us with the gifts of his word and sacrament, which have touched our hearts, bestowing faith and giving you forgiveness and life and salvation. Now, treasuring those gifts is in some ways the best waker-upper that there is, because we reflect upon the blessing of forgiveness, the assurance of God's love, the assurance of everlasting life. And we realize that that wonderful gift is only going to be compounded when the Lord comes again. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. The one who came and fulfilled his promises will do so again. Now, Paul points out that we've got things tugging at us the other way, to put us to sleep and to make us unready. In fact, because Jesus told us that the end times would be so corrupt, we can see that the end times are upon us because of the evil days in which we live. The days are evil, so the time is short. As it's written in Ephesians 5, be very careful then. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What does a foolish person do? That's the guy that drives 60 on the sheet of ice, right? And he doesn't think about, oh, what happens if I hit the brake? A foolish person is someone who lives in the days in which we live without any thought to the fact that the days will end. Nearer and nearer we get to the end. We're closer than when we first believed. It's kind of like this string. I'm not at the end of the string yet, I'm not at the end yet. Still not at the end. How much is left? 10 inches? 10,000 inches? I don't know. All I know is that the end is getting closer. All we know is that our salvation is getting closer and closer and closer. Of course, as human beings, what we want to do is open the box, see how much is left, and come back when that's when the end is near. But it doesn't work that way. In fact, what Jesus says, and we read about that in our gospel lesson today, our days, the days of the end of the world, are going to be like the days of Noah. Noah preached to them. Noah warned them. But they didn't think a flood would ever come. And so they ignored him. I am certain, because I've asked them, people who used to be practicing members of churches, including this church, will tell you, hey, there's plenty of time. What's the urgency? I figured I'd come back sometime before I die. Yeah, unfortunately, all too commonly, they come back when their family asks if they can have the funeral here. Because, in fact, they weren't ready. When God describes the world before he comes again, he describes it as the days of Noah. And as you remember from our gospel lesson, those were a time in which every kind of indifference and carelessness abounded, taking for granted that things would just always be as they'd always been. And prosperity or peace and peace are ours by right. But Paul tells us in our text, that's living in darkness. Yeah, God's patient, but the fact remains the time is flowing. And today is closer to the end than yesterday. And tomorrow will be closer yet, if there is a tomorrow. These are dark days. But there will not always be darkness. That's, remember, the significance of the blue pyramids. The night is nearly over. The day's almost here. It's almost light. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So we realize that in these days, these times, they're dangerous, spiritually speaking. And so our focus turns to the azure blue sky, to the light in the heavens that will one day be God the Son coming in great power and glory. And when we think like that, we see a huge difference between the counterfeit joys of this life and the perfect and wonderful joys for which our Savior rescued us from sin, death, and hell, and from the darkness of this earth. Paul reminds us here that it is a damned flesh. It is a sinful, mortal flesh that is destined only for hell and the grave, that thinks that joy, enduring joy, can be found, well, he lists a bunch of things, in sensuality, in drunkenness, in dissension, in jealousy, in arguing, in putting oneself up above others. No enduring happiness there. These are the works of darkness. And people, we who have known the light, we need to be different. Having seen the first glimmers of heaven in the gospel by the light of God's word, we look upon these things and see them even in ourselves, and we realize that there is no enduring joy there. We're revolted by them. We want to do what Paul says. Let's behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Rather than figuring out how to tempt ourselves, how to put ourselves in a situation where it's difficult to say no, rather than living as though we're part of these evil days, let's put, as he puts it, let's put on the armor of light. Because the fact is, wherever I take a candle, wherever I take illumination, there can be no light. I'm sorry, there can be no darkness. So we put on the armor of light. That is, we put on Christ. We revel in his forgiveness. And we reflect upon his mercy and turn our eyes to heaven so that we can be ready. We realize that true joys are in heaven. Think of any good thing. Anything beautiful? Anything tasty? I think we had a few of those this week, probably. Anything comfortable? Anything encouraging? Anything that lifts up your hearts? Anything that comes across as just plain good? Anything that is loving? Now those are just hints of what awaits us in heaven. And contrast that with the darkness of the things that we've talked about. Instead of sex, merely sex, there's selfless love. Instead of debauchery and dirtiness, there's true virtue, loyalty, faithfulness. Instead of dissension, there's the heart of our faith. There's forgiveness. There's unconditional love for the sake of Christ. Instead of jealousy and envy and self-love, we give way to true love. And true love to all in our family and all with whom we have to do. And he kind of sums all that up. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, these virtues that I've mentioned, these treasures are already yours. Have you been baptized? If you've been baptized into Christ, Scripture says you've put on Christ, and so you've put on his righteousness. You are already enjoying part of those good things that Christ will bring with him, in that you bear a righteousness that comes from him, that is from God, and that is by faith. And it's a righteousness that's yours right now. And the light of it cannot help but shine out in this dark world. You look upon those around you as people forgiven, worth the blood of God's own Son. My, what a difference that is in a world where we just are taught to use one another. Jesus came once to this poor, dark earth. He came in poverty himself in order to redeem this world. And he comes even today with the light of his gospel wherever his word is proclaimed faithfully. And he will come again as the sunrise after the night, as light coming into a dark place, as a beacon of hope to follow, as the bright morning star that rises in our hearts by faith and guides us, and that foretells, presages the eternal dawn of which he makes all of us a part. Yeah, I want to be awake when it comes. I want to be ready. I want to live in the light instead of the darkness. To him, then, be all glory and praise. And to him, let the prayer of his church be raised. It's been raised in every generation. How much longer? Perhaps not long. the prayer of the church, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Quickly come. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.